Begin with a word of prayer. Our God and our loving Father, we'd thank Thee. We'd thank Thee for the Lord Jesus. And we'd thank Thee for the ministry of Thy precious word that we've heard these last 2 days. And now, our Father, we'd look to Thee for just a few minutes to appeal to any here who may be strangers to Thy love and Thy grace. We'd ask this, Lord Jesus, in Thy precious name. Amen. Let's sing a hymn. There are some gospel hymns in the little flock. Number 69, Come, Hear the Gospel Sound, Yet There Is Room. Someone could start it.
I'm sorry, 66,
in the back, yeah.
Oh, kill thee, how draw near.
Let's turn for a moment to Genesis chapter 24, three expressions in that chapter. I'd like to quickly read three or four passages. Genesis 24, the first expression is in verse 56 of Genesis 24. He said unto them, hinder me not. And verse 58, the question was addressed to Rebekah, wilt thou go with this man? And then the answer, she said, I will go. Let's turn over to John's Gospel. And there's an expression, first I'd like, it ties in with what our brother Bruce had. It's in connection with the word believing. It's on our way over to the passage I really had in my heart, but I don't want to miss this. My wife and I enjoyed this. It's an expression in John chapter 2 and verse 11. It's in connection with believing. We use the word believe, and it's in John quite a few times. But verse 11 of chapter 2 of John's Gospel, this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed on him. But I believe this is a note in Mr. Darby's translation that I enjoyed. Believe it's the object of faith. It's believe on a person as an object of faith. It's believe on a person. You know, this afternoon, I don't know you all, but I believe that if not, probably all of you are very familiar with this book. And I have something in common with you because I grew up under the sound of the Word of God. But you know, the questions come up, in fact, in conversation it did even this afternoon, why do we have gospel meetings? And yes, we should be more diligent in bringing our unsaved neighbors in, and I encourage you to do so. But you know, I listened to gospel meetings, and I went home, and I wasn't saved. And I hope there's no boy or girl or even a grown-up here that's heard the gospel and gone home and they weren't saved. You know what Blue Monday is? It's the Monday after you've heard the gospel on Lord's Day evening and you went home and you knew you weren't saved. You knew if the Lord came, you'd be left. And so we have gospel meetings. And you know, I don't know your hearts. That woman in John 4, she said, come see a man that told me all things. Is not this the Christ? She recognized in that man, and that's the man I'd like to speak to you about for a few minutes, that man that wants you to follow him. When you leave here this afternoon, do you have an object for your life? Is that man the object of your life? And we just read in Genesis 24, hinder me not. There's someone that wants to hinder you. And you know what I mean. There's an enemy of your soul, and he wants to hinder you. He doesn't want the Spirit of God to have its work in your heart. And you might have sat in a gospel meeting and gone out. And you said, I know it's right. I believe that. If somebody said to you, you know, it used to be, you know, I haven't seen it for years. It used to be, in order to get out of the gospel meeting, you had to walk by the man that had the gospel. And you kind of looked, if you hoped there was another door, but you had to go by him. And he seemed to almost, he seemed to know you. I mean, he seemed to reach out and grab your hand and look you right in the eye. And you had to figure out what you were going to tell him. But you know, whether that's the case or not, the Spirit of God is striving with your soul. Wilt thou go with this man? Now, I marked some of these. I used these little red things here, so I'm not very good on my memory. John chapter 6. John 6 and verse 66. So like Brother Jim said, he's not good on his math, but if you do know your math, you know 6 times 11 is 66, so you can remember this. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, "Will ye also go away?" Then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Well, I just address that to you. You're going to go away? You know, I just like to say, as I've grown up in the assembly, I've seen some my own age, they went away. And you know, it came time to leave this world. And I've told this before. You get on the telephone, can anybody ever remember that young man or young lady or older man has ever confessed the Lord Jesus? Have you ever heard a confession from him? And you call his, perhaps somebody who's in Sunday school with him. I had a cousin. Nobody could ever remember. Nobody could remember he'd ever confessed the Lord. And he grew up sitting on chairs like you did. I hope that's not the case. My wife and I went to the bedside of a neighbor dying. If you'd have been a neighbor to that man, there was nothing in his life that would ever tell that he was a believer. I've had personal talks with him. I believe he was. The last word he said to me, "Whatever the Lord wants." It was a couple hours. He was in eternity. He was a man that grew up like you did. He sat on the meeting room chairs. But he didn't have time for the Lord. He didn't have time for the Lord. A lost life. Let's turn over to Luke. And there we have Luke 24. So the one in Genesis 24 was going to go on a journey. She had an object before her. Her Isaac. If we'd go on in that story, we'd see the last line, I believe, of a hymn. "Sweetest to his ear are the footfalls as they come through the desert." You know, the Lord Jesus is that one that's waiting at the end of the journey. I have to tell you, some of you may know where this came from. Perhaps I don't recommend the source necessarily, but I read a little article about a little boy riding on the train. And the scenery outside looked a little boring. And the person next to him said to the little boy, it's kind of monotonous, isn't it?" He said, "It's okay, mister. My father's waiting for me." Is your father waiting for you? Are there trials at the end of the journey? Take courage. You know, we have the end of the story. Take courage. Luke 24, just a couple verses here in closing. We're familiar with this passage. Just verse 13 first. And behold, two of them went the same day to the village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all the things which had happened. You know, as we go away from here, there'll be conversation. Perhaps conversation in the car. I can remember going from a conference or going from an all-day meeting with our family, and as we left, there was conversation. Maybe there were questions came up. But you know, these two, as they went, we'll read later, or I could just read that. We trusted that it had been He. You know, is He disappointed you? Are you going to go away discouraged? And let's look at the end of the story, because it's nice. We have the end of the story. Then the one came alongside, and that's what would be the object of our hearts. And we just heard about our hearts from our brother, and our hearts must be touched. Verse 32. This is the desire we'd have. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us by the way, while He opened to us the Scriptures? Now, I'd just like to tell you in closing about a little boy. And his heart was touched. And to you children, if I went up and down the row and I asked each one of you, how long will it be before you take your last breath? Or if I asked you, as we were often asked in Sunday school, when is the Lord going to come? Now, you know we're asked that question many times, but is it real to you? I'm going to tell you about a little boy. Our time is up. And this little boy's perhaps known to some in this room. His name is Braden. And I can picture a little scene with three of my grandsons standing by an open casket. And Braden, I think he was 9 years old, in eternity. But you know, it's a sweet thing. Braden had a Bible. And in that Bible, he had verses marked. And Braden had confessed the Lord Jesus as his Savior. One of my grandsons, in their simplicity, looked down and he says, Braden, you're so patient to let all these people go by. Well, you know, those are lessons in life. Life is short. And I just ask you, are you going to wait? The Lord Jesus is coming. Are you going to go? Are you going to go with this man? Has he won your heart's affections? Wilt thou go with this man? And I just leave you with that. Is that the one that's won your heart's affections? You know, the world doesn't have anything to offer you. It doesn't have anything. Nothing. But I just like to say one thing in connection with what Bruce said. You know, there's a world out there full of people, and they're hungry. You let your light shine. Don't ask the Lord for open doors. They're open. You don't need to ask the Lord for an open door. The doors are open. Maybe you don't have courage. I found something that I'd like to encourage you to do. The man in the drive-in, the man at the service station, hand him a little gospel tract. Maybe you don't know what to say. You may find a hungry soul. And we found it so when we travel. They've got something. You have something that they need. Be a little testimony to the Lord Jesus. Let's just ask Him for His help. Our God and our Father, we thank Thee this afternoon for the Lord Jesus. Oh, we thank Thee, our Father, for that love that sent Him down to this world. We thank Thee for that love that has provided everything for our sustenance in this world and everything for our happiness in the pathway down here. And we just cry unto Thee, our Father, that if there's one here that has never confessed the Lord Jesus as Savior, that that love might reach their heart, that the warnings in thy precious word might reach their conscience, and we just ask thee, our Father, that they might bow the knee today before it's too late, perhaps even now while our heads are bowed, they might own the Lord Jesus as their Savior. We thank thee, Lord Jesus, for the value of that precious blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary. And we just ask thee, Lord Jesus, that as we leave, that we would go another way, that our hearts would be encouraged to go on. And we thank thee too, Lord Jesus, that soon we'll be taken home, and that someday in a coming day, not far off, thou wilt have thy rightful place. We thank thee, Lord Jesus, and we'd commit ourselves to thee in thy precious and worthy name. Amen.